Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We are so blessed to have back on the program today Antonio T. Smith Jr. He is a successful entrepreneur, multimillionaire, helped dozens and dozens of people become millionaires in their own right as he helps them and helps you to build the business you were designed to have. But that's not the purpose for him being on the program today. You can go back and listen to the old episodes on that. Today, he is explaining why he has made this decision now to run for President of the United States on the Independent Party ticket. And if you missed yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up. That's where we introduced him and introduced the reason why he's running. Today, we go into some deep topics on what his policies are and what he's running on and what his platform is going to be. So now, jump right back into this interview with Antonio T. Smith, Jr.
There it is, man. There it is. Amen. Amen. Oh, man, you're spelling so excellent.
In your opinion, what is the real problem? I mean, we just alluded to it, but let's just ask that question and get it out there. What's the real problem going on in America right now?
That's fair. It's a conglomerate of a couple of things. If we have to give one concise answer, we forgot that we're all connected. So what we're doing is we're creating laws that you're going to die. By the time the effect of this law, the side effect of this law takes in place, you're dead. But our children have to live with these laws you put in place. And when you remember that we're connected, you don't make laws that benefit you, but then hurt the people after you. That's not leadership. That's not pastoralship. That's not politicianship, even though that's not a word. That's just ignorance. It's greed. It's not okay. One of the main problems that's happening with America right now is lobbying. And we're just going to have to tackle that. We're just going to have to agree or just bite the bullet that lobbying, I'm not saying dismantle lobbying, but we need to have a transparent lobbying, and that'll dismantle a lot. And another thing that happens that's a problem with America is we put dog ears on bills. So one bill would get crushed. But with lobbying, we'll pass a healthcare act that will then have this dog ear that will give $250 billion away in Section 15 of this healthcare act that has nothing to do with it, that says, yes, let's drill over here in Antarctica. Right? Mm-hmm. For $250 billion. That has nothing to do with that, but that's part of lobbying. Since you crushed the bill, let me pass it to this one. And these things, these three things that I just named, are really the main problem with America. We're forgetting that we're connected, so we're creating laws that have these side effects that are adverse side effects, like taking the wrong medication. And then lobbying, we need transparent lobbying. I dare not tell anyone not to make your money. I get lobbying is not only a retirement plan for if you're in Congress, but it's also a lucrative business. And I'm not here to tell you not to make money. I'm a capitalist myself. I dare not tell you that. But I can tell you for the American people that you need to have transparent lobbying. And if the American people see that you're doing stuff unethical, they have an opportunity to be educated with your transparency, and then they will vote you out. But right now, we're not doing that, and that is a problem.
Amen. Now, as a pastor, as a Christian, are you going to be sticking to biblical values and morality, you know, like marriage between a man and woman and all that?
Now, see, that's tough there because, you know, let's address that as concise as I possibly can. I would love to tell you that we need to stick to biblical values by a man and a woman, but as a founding nation, we gave up biblical values for marriage when we put it in the Constitution in Article 3. We didn't. When you think about what marriage is, we gave it up as a church and we put it in the Constitution. So we've already taken out biblical principles. and put them into the hand of the federal and the sovereign states. That's why we have this problem in the first place. That's why we have this problem in the first place. Now, to more concisely answer your question, this is where you have to be careful with what we call biblical principles and what we think are church principles. Biblical principles tell me loving kindness leads to repentance. And what is biblical also tells me that whatever you do unto the least of these, my brethren, you do also unto me. What is church teaching says, hate the sinner, not the sin. No, excuse me, other way around. Hate the sin, not the sinner. But that's not in the Bible, right? That's just a church philosophy that we have adopted. And I would say concisely, as a pastor, I would love everybody to be righteous, but I know I can't legislate righteousness. And that being said, we have to be careful. In fact, let me not say we. Let me put it in me so someone can throw stones at me if you disagree. I have to be careful by saying one race of people is better than another, or one sexual orientation is better than another, when I must be considerate of the least of these, my brethren. What I can do is do what the governor of Texas did, which is actually pretty cool. Abbott, I believe is his name, pretty cool. If you're going to do gay marriage, cool, good for you. But then I can protect you, Pastor Bob, who don't want to sacrifice your religion or your moral beliefs that way, and give you a law that protects you from having to go with the system while the system is also doing itself. That's not me trying to be a both and, but it is me saying concisely that I recognize that I would be the president of everybody. No different than Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. All nations will be saved, not just the Hebrew nation, right? Not just that. And I understand that we have to represent everybody, but at the same time, I can't go for gay rights so much and then totally make Pastor Bob's pastor rights null and void as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be very sensitive and understand that and give the best to both sides.
Amen. So you're basically taking the stand that you're going to be president of everybody. So you will protect their rights according to the Constitution. And that includes protecting their rights not to participate in things like that.
Absolutely. And anybody who doesn't do that is not, you shouldn't be president, right? Because there's just both sides. And you have to respect the fact that while I'll just use me, well, I'll use a fake person, Pastor iPhone doesn't hate, you know, gays or anything like that. Pastor iPhone still doesn't want, still can't wrap his head around doing a same-sex marriage. I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that is his or her right not to do so. I respect that. And this is now this is where we got to be careful, because this is how it gets muddy. When you pass things down to the sovereign states, it's where it gets muddy. I am all for sovereignty. I'm extremely conservative. I really am. I just can't relate to being a Republican because they're completely out of touch with the people. Mm-hmm. And I can't relate with Democratic because, you know, let's just have nobody rich. Let's just make everybody the same. And I'm not for that either, right? I'm not for either side.
Amen.
But when you let's take it out of gay civil rights and put it in African-American civil rights. And it'll make plenty of sense when I say it this way. The only time African-American slavery, as what we were talking about, was saved was with the federal government. And this is just one of the things we're going to have to respect. It was never the states. The states enslaved African-Americans and fought to continue to do so. It was three different times. It was obviously the Civil War. Now, there's some, you know, controversy around that, which we could talk about that later. Then it was the dissolving of Jim Crow laws and then the civil rights movement. But each time that was the federal government. So if I'm ignorant enough to say, let's just pass it to the state, I understand through the historicity. Historicity is different than history. Historicity says the accurate depiction and events of people. I understand through the historicity, every time you take a really big thing like gay marriage and you just give it to the states, they're going to do wrong with it every single time. Yeah. That's not my opinion. That's the historicity of America. Yeah. So you give some to the states, but you have these checks and balances from the federal side. Hopefully that answers you very well. I'm doing my very best to be as transparent as possible.
Okay. What about pro-life and protecting the unborn?
Boy, let me tell you something. When I ran, I'm glad you asked this here. when I did my first rally, and this is the honest to God truth, they were asking, are you ready? And I was like, yeah, of course I'm ready. Because I'm really good on my feet. Like, I do Q&A very well. Amen. And they said, anything you can't think of? I said, there's only one question that will stump me today. And you just asked it. Let me tell you. You just asked it. Now, I have an answer now, right? But my first rally, I did not have an answer. Like, that pro-life, pro-choice, woo! That one there is serious, right? That is serious. Here's my direct answer, and it's split in two. For one, if you're wondering, I believe life starts, you know, at conception, obviously, right? But that's but it's more than just that, because that's not me excluding pro-choicers. When we talk about pro-choice, this is where we have to be honest again. The people who have defined pro-choice, the people who have created laws about pro-choice, the people who have created the stigma about pro-choice, now take it out of pro-choice, the people who have defined pro-life, and the people who have defined the stigma of pro-life and the blessings of pro-life, they are all the same. They're men. And this is the biggest problem that we have with this question. The answer to the question should be something like this. Pastor Bob, I'm glad you asked me that question. You know, here's what I want to do. I want to respect both pro-life and pro-choice side, but I don't mean to be weak and not make a decision. Here's my firm decision. What we need to do is start a coalition of women. Since this is a women issue with women decisions controlling a woman's body, we need to first, without selecting the women, let's select the type of women we want. And then make these women fit these goals. And then have a coalition of women just like NATO. And you have a smaller version of NATO with women only. And since the men are already in charge, and men, you get to oversee, and we'll put some checks and balances there. And we need to first let the women decide what is pro-life, get some new definitions. What is pro-choice, get some new definitions, and hear from the women. And then we make an informed decision on how women feel about their bodies, about their thing, their everything. Because what we're doing right now is we're the pilgrims having a meeting about Indians, deciding if the Indians have souls, and the Indians were not invited to the meeting.
Amen.
And that's what we're doing.
But as you said, being Christian and pastor, all that, you believe life begins at conception. Who's protecting the baby? You have the women on one side and the men over the same, but who is looking out for the baby?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. And this is something where prayer doesn't solve the problem, right? And I'm just going to tell this to all you Christians. Prayer doesn't solve this problem. Prayer is first part of the battle. This is where we in action solve this problem. Okay. This is another case, Pastor Bob, when you can't leave it to the states. We've done that. Right. Now let's go to historicity. We've made abortion so hard that now it's almost a death penalty to try to go get an abortion. Not that I'm advocating for the abortion, but check out this scenario. You were raped. And now I'm telling you to be reminded of your rape and raise the worst thing that ever happened to you for the next 18 years. And then die knowing that, you know, you've raised your rape, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm a man, so it's not that sensitive for me to talk about it, but it is a real life scenario that we've created because America has a very strong rape culture. Mm-hmm. We blame victims way before we blame the perpetrators, right?
Mm, that's right.
This is one of those cases where the states are making another mistake. Since we left it to the states are always going to do what the dominant culture says do. And I'm not even talking about white at this point. I'm talking about man. Male conservatism is while male conservatism is great because I'm conservative, it is also a problem when you don't consider opposing viewpoints. And you've got to just consider this. You can't write a paper or preach a sermon without opposing viewpoints. You can't be in a marriage without opposing viewpoints, but we create these dangerous laws without opposing viewpoints. We, as the federal government in this case, answering your question concisely, needs to protect the baby because the states are, not only are they not protecting the baby, in their protection of the baby, they're killing the mother as well.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Let's flip this around as we get ready to wrap up about the economic status again. What is your
favorite
on mandatory minimum wage legislation?
Well, you know, Pastor Bob, let me say it this way, because I'm really going to like this. I've never got this question before, but it had to be coming. It sort of came from a smart guy like you. There should be a mandatory minimum wage, but I take a different approach with it, okay? I didn't even know it, and I'm processing it in my head right now. There should be a mandatory minimum wage. This is just historicity again. The cost of living has risen, but the cost of or the wages have not. So this is just common sense, right? Some of this political stuff we can solve with just common sense laws. We just don't like to rule as common sense because once you get enough, you stop taking risks and you start protecting it. And so we're making laws to protect the abundance of the 1%. Now, here is what I would do concisely. Let me say it this way. Here's how I would solve the mandatory minimum wage concisely while pleasing conservatives and pleasing liberals at the same time. Say it for the first time ever on your show. This is what I would do. America's infrastructure is garbage. We all know that. I believe we're rated at a C or maybe a D or D minus. Our infrastructure is the worst of a civilized country. I have an idea. And you fix the mandatory minimum wage at the same time. Take the federal government, get a large chunk of money for the federal government and say, we're going to fix our infrastructure and we're only going to hire Americans. Now watch this here. And And we're going to do it across the entire country. Every bridge, every pothole, everywhere. We're going to take on this entire infrastructure and take it from a C or whatever it is to an A-plus rating. Now watch this. So that's a 10, 15-year project, at the least 10, 15-year project. And you give it government contracts. And then you say government contracts, what you need to do is you need to hire the best general contractors, you know, be fair with the hiring, of course, best general contractors, and have those general contractors have checks and balances and policies that don't let them cut corners and get the cheapest subcontractor, because that's where the hole will fall in the plan. You get good subcontractors and you make the minimum thing that you can pay out $20 an hour. Now watch this here. It's all construction. They pretty much get paid about $20 an hour anyway for work like this in the first place. You open it wide open to male or female. Now, this is why I said hire great standards of subcontractor, because America has a rape culture, right?
Yep.
And you don't want terrible subcontractors not protecting men or women, because both sides can be raped. You want to protect men or women, but now you're fixing America cheap, because $20 an hour is not expensive when you're talking about fixing the American infrastructure. And here's what I just did that would make every conservative happy on planet Earth and economist. The way the economy works, spending equals income for someone else. When you get income, you become spending and go back to income for someone else. So when you give someone $20 an hour and allow them to travel state to state to fix our infrastructure, you will stimulate the local economy, because the people have to use the restroom, they have to eat at Whataburger, they have to do every single thing else. And just fixing our infrastructure will solve every single problem that we have financially, or just about every single problem, without raising a tax. And the government will now get more income tax because you got more people working at a higher dollar. And it's all construction, and it's a 15-year project.
Amen. At least solves that problem. At least a 15-year
project. Exactly. And that solves the problem without raising the minimum wage.
That rolls right into my next question, which was about taxes. You know, I mean, what you're talking about is a big government emphasis, kind of like when they built all the highways back in the late 50s and early 60s.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And big government takes big money. And we're already a huge budget deficit and national debt is out of control. How will you do this by controlling the out of control government spending?
Yeah, because this time it won't be out of control. The way what happens is the way it works is once the banks stop giving loans, that means the citizens are no longer loanable. They don't qualify for loans anymore. That means their debt has raised higher than their income. And this fixes the problem because now they're not lendable. And so the way you get to uncontrolled or silly government spending is now you got to fix that problem. And the only way to fix that problem is a stimulus package that gives people free money with no financial intelligence, and they're going to blow off this money anyway. And then that becomes frivolous government spending. When you do it the way I have just said, it's not a stimulus package. It is taking the part of the government deficit and the budget to fix our infrastructure. So it's not free money anymore. It's money that's going to fix the infrastructure. And all you're doing is passing the money from the budget to the people, which then does two things. When every time the money goes from the government to the people, they have to spend that money. Every time they spend that money becomes income for someone else. So you stimulate two parts of the economy, the short-term part of the economy and the long-term part of the economy. And since everyone has to get taxed on that money when they spend and when they get their check, you also take that government money and you put 15% of that government money right back. It's basically fixing the infrastructure and getting a 15% return on investment or more. That is what investors do every day. That's how I buy real estate. We just don't use these business principles, right? And we just don't use these business principles to do so. So when you take the already government spending that we have and just say, here's the money that we're going to use, we're going to spend it anyway. Instead of spending over here, let's spend it for the infrastructure. And then now, you know, every time you spend a dollar, you're going to get 15 cents back. That is proper spending. That's making money when you spend money. And that's the basis of every good investment on planet Earth.
Amen. That sounds like trickle-down economics, right?
It sure is. In this case, though, the trickle-down isn't going to the top 1%. It's amen. Going to anyone willing to work construction. That's the 97%.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
There you go.
It's amazing how simple it can be if smart people would just stop what they're doing and think about
it. I know, right?
Well, we've always done it this way, and that's why our budget's out of control.
Yeah, exactly. Amen. Exactly. Totally. And you can see in my thinking, I'm being very conservative with my thinking. Like, this isn't liberal at all. This is just business sense.
Amen. Amen. Man, it's been great. You know, folks, there you have it. Independent presidential candidate Antonio T. Smith Jr. running
That's
to
me.
Try and fix what's wrong in America. Amen.
That's it, man.
Amen.
That's it.
Tony, how can someone donate to your campaign?
AntonioTSmithJr.com. As Pastor Bob is a genius, I'm sure to be in the show notes as well. But my first name, Antonio. T stands for Theodore, right? AntonioTSmithJr.com. As soon as you go on there, you will see how to donate, and you can do monthly or you can do just one-time giving. I encourage all of you, don't even think about giving large. You can if you're well able. You know, Pastor Bob can give $15,000 right now, right?
Sure.
But for those of you not as rich as Pastor Bob, $20 monthly donations over the next, you know, couple of next year and a half, that equals a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So please don't put yourself out. And we accept small donations, and it is the heart and backbone of this campaign. And I'd much rather take it that way. Plus, if you can give big, then you're more than welcome. But don't be afraid of small donations, because they're not small to me, because we're going to push that back to the American people and make it work. So any donation is kind, and don't feel bad for leaving a $5 donation.
Amen. Amen. And if someone wanted to reach out and ask you a question, maybe do another interview such as this, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. In fact, you can reach out to me at AntonioTSmithJr.com or just type in my name on Google, or you can email MrPresident@AntonioTSmithJr.com. That's Mr. President, spelled the right way, @AntonioTSmithJr.com. Shoot an email there. My campaign manager and myself have access to that email, and I would love to do your show. As a matter of fact, I encourage you to ask me all the hard questions possible, because I'd rather be a transparent candidate than one that's politicking around and feeding you some stuff you don't need to be fed.
Amen. And you've done that today. I mean, you articulated every answer, man. It was awesome. It was awesome.
I appreciate you, man.
Do you have a Facebook page for your campaign as well?
Yes, I'm using the page I already had. It's Antonio Tiesman Jr. If you want, you can just go to ffacebook.com, and then the handle is TheATSJR. I'll do that army phonetically. That's Tango Hotel Echo Alpha Tango Sierra Juliet Romeo. That'll find you right there. TheATSJR. So facebook.com/TheATSJR will let you find me. And yeah, you follow me there, you'll see a lot of campaign news there. And again, I happen to be pretty popular, so you can just Google Antonio T. Smith Jr. and you will find me everywhere.
Amen. And popular doesn't even begin to describe it. Oh, Tony, it has been great. I appreciate you taking time off the campaign trail and off of your business.
Man, I appreciate you.
To come on back on with us today. And I am so blessed to have been one of the first to actually do it.
You're the first. You are the first radio interview I have had. And I'm so glad it was you. That just seems divine.
Hey, man, well, I do appreciate it, and I appreciate your time, and we're going to be praying for you. We know that with God, all things are possible, and that he is the one who sets up kings and takes down kings, and the king's heart is in his hand like a water. If it's his will, it will come to pass. Amen.
That's it, man.
I believe with all my heart. Man, I do appreciate you. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. I encourage you to go to the show notes down below and click on the link to get in touch with Antonio T. Smith Jr. Tony is awesome. He will do these interviews over the phone with you on LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever the case may be.
I'll come to your living room with five people.
There you go. He'll see you. Hold a rally for him. Do a fundraising rally for him. And check his calendar, because he's coming to a town near you. I can almost guarantee it. Amen. Tony, it's been great. I appreciate you. I'll be following you. Please stay in touch. If something comes up and you want to come back on the radio and talk about it with our audience, you have an open invitation at any time, bro.
I sure appreciate you. Thank you, Pastor Bob. You are the man. I love your audience. Thank you, everybody. And hopefully I have pleased you in at least a way that the Lord will be satisfied.
Amen. Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have. Till next time, it's Pastor Bob for Antonio Smith and myself reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Be blessed.
I Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.